Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom. The government today unveiled a slew of measures across sectors to encourage growth and deal with serious spending concerns. In telecom, major reforms have been announced with a four-year moratorium on past dues, a move that will help beleaguered companies such as Vodafone. In the auto sector, the cabinet has cleared 26,000 crores to try and boost production for the sector in a production-linked incentive that will encourage the manufacture of electric vehicles. And finally, the bids for the Air India disinvestment have been received. So we've got a lot to discuss on all of that. That'll be our first topic. But later on the show, our tech guru Rajiv Makni joins us as we discuss the new iPhone 13 and all its new security patches. But first, a quick look at the big reforms in auto and in telecom.
Today's reform in the telecom sector have not just thrown a lifeline to the struggling Vodafone, but also reopened the Indian market to foreign players. The government's mantra is a robust telecom sector with competition and customer choice.
That there should be healthy competition in this sector. And for that, there will be further reforms when the 5G spectrum is auctioned out and new auctions come, so that more and more players can get into this sector.
Vodafone Idea, Airtel and to a lesser extent RIL owed the government over 92,000 crores in past dues, known as AGR, following a Supreme Court order. The government has announced a four-year moratorium on the AGR dues and redefined rules so that non-telecom revenues of these companies will be excluded from AGR charges from now on. In a major move, automatic foreign direct investment limit has been hiked from 49% to 100%, but with riders for investments from China. For license auctions, the hefty bank guarantees have been whittled down and the tenure of a license increased from 20 years to 30 years.
Significant improvement hoga jisse ki 5G ka investment kiya ja sakta hai. Ye assessment kiya gaya hai aur isme puri aasha hai ki iske karan 5G ka investment possible hoga.
With a 50,000 crore tax bill, Vodafone was facing a shutdown. Its former chairman Kumaramangalam Birla had asked the government to take over his stake.
It reacted today saying path-breaking reforms, unshackling telecom sector and ensuring healthy growth.
Bharati Airtel welcomed the announcement saying this will support the telecom industry that has been battered by unprecedented stress, high debt and low return on investments. And Jio too said it welcomes the reforms and relief package announced by the government of India, as these are timely steps towards strengthening India's telecom sector. Close on the heels of Ford's exit from India, the government today announced a production-linked scheme for the auto industry. It pitched some big numbers. Incentives worth 26,000 crores help create additional employment of over 4.6 lakh people and help attract fresh investments of over 42,500 crores over 5 years and incremental production of over 2.3 lakh crores. Tata Motors, India's third biggest car manufacturer, welcomed this, calling it progressive, transformational, accelerating the country's progress towards green mobility.
The telecom sector has been a very litigated sector, and it's in that backdrop that the government has been careful not to find foul of the Supreme Court and has kept to its directions and framework to ensure that this package helps the telecom industry. With camera person Pooja Arya, Sunil Prabhu, NDTV.
To look at the auto sector, I'm joined by Vikram Kirloskar, the vice chairperson of Toyota Kirloskar Motors, and Siddharth Vinayak Patankar, the editor-in-chief of Car and Bike. Bijendra Singhal, the former CMD of VSNL, will be joining me in a moment to look at the telecom sector. And Vinamra Longani joins me, head of operations at Sardine & Company, an aviation law firm that will be looking very closely at this entire disinvestment process. But Mr. Kirloskar, let me come to you first. 26,000 plus crores for the auto industry. The goal, we are told, is to encourage technology towards green technology, electric cars, much more efficient transport. Is this going to bring in the technology that we need in India?
I certainly think this will give impetus. It's a bold move by the government because the money amount you're talking about is quite a huge amount. 26,000 crores is a very, very large commitment. And I think I'd like to say that I appreciate the commitment a lot. And now it's up to us to start figuring out how to use this 26,000 crores.
So how will it exactly work, Mr. Kirloskar? How will industry be incentivized?
I think it's both for the OEM, that's the car maker, as well as component maker. I'm in both the businesses, and I think I'll probably start making applications on the component side. I haven't gone into the details. My staff is going through that. But I'm told that it is very encouraging. We are into a large amount of component manufacturing for not only local requirement, but also for export, fairly sizable amounts. And it will certainly help us, especially new technology in those areas. On the vehicle manufacturing, I need to study the whole scheme, how it can be used. We are certainly interested in the electric part of it and the hydrogen part of it. And we want to figure out how that will work along with the growth in the market.
My colleague Siddharth Patankar joins us as well. Siddharth, Rajiv Bajaj had some concerns and he tweeted out earlier on today and actually came out with interviews in which he said that this incentive was not required for industry to bring in technology and that more meaningful incentives needed to be given elsewhere. How do you balance what Mr. Kirloskar is saying with the views of others, for example, Rajiv Bajaj?
Good evening, Vishnu. You know, I think it has to be looked at through a couple of different lenses, if you will. The very first point here is that what has been announced today is certainly welcome in the sense that, look, we know that the industry is headed in a certain direction when it comes to these future technologies, electric, hydrogen. These are going to play huge roles. And in a way, it sort of helps maybe give a little more impetus or accelerates that process, which otherwise has not really been keeping pace with what's happening globally in the automobile space. So that's one part of it. Mm-hmm. I think what Rajiv is talking about is about saying, look, we know that there's a lot of pressure on the sector. There has been for several years now, it's even pre-pandemic, that the sector has, you know, faced a lot of pressure. There has been a lot of clamor in the last several years for a little bit of an impetus or a push also coming from a policy reform on taxation,
right.
Very high taxation levels, looking at other kinds of SOPs which would help not just the manufacturing end, but also the sales end by overall expanding the pie of manufacturing, because there's always this talk about how India holds a lot of potential to be a huge player when it comes to manufacturing globally. Some of that has not been realized as quickly in the last few years. So I think what he's hinting at is about more immediate concerns, stuff that could help today's manufacturing. I think the announcements point more towards tomorrow's manufacturing.
All right. Let's just turn our attention to the telecom sector. We'll try and come back to more on the auto sector. Brijendra Singhal, in the telecom sector space, what they have done, among other moves, is non-telecom revenue will be excluded on prospective basis from the definition of adjusted gross revenue. How is this one of the several moves which is likely to help beleaguered companies like Vodafone India?
You see, first thing is that whether it is going to be prospectively or retroactively, because what we are talking is huge amounts of sums, what they have to pay in the retroactive taxation, and what they are going to be paying as they go along in future. But the moot point is that I think we are taxing the telecom industry in perpetuity at 33%. That has not been addressed at all, because we are paying about 30 to 33% for whatever you earn. And that is a key issue which needs to be addressed. You see, this is some sort of a band-aid solution, and then it is left to also interpretation by somebody who will calculate in DOT as to what is non-telecom and what is telecom.
Sure.
Okay, it's a relief, but I don't think that it is a big relief.
Got it. Mr. Singhal, let me ask you the other point quickly, sir. If you can, 100% FDI under the automatic route permitted now in the telecom sector. Is this not a very major reform? What are the implications of this?
Well, I would say that this is also a welcome move,
right,
in the sense that there are now possibilities of, let's say, partners investing more. But unlikely that more money will come from Vodafone because they said that they are not going to invest.
Right.
So is it going to be for the new players they are asking, wanting to come in, or is it for the existing players who can bring in more foreign direct investment, okay. Especially in the case of Airtel. Singtel owns about 37-38%, so whether they would like to buy more into Airtel or Airtel would be willing to sort of divest more,
right?
It has to be seen, but it's a good move. That,
all right, okay, so that's a positive move, but let me just move on to the other sector we are looking at, aviation. Today we have a new drone policy, which is also in the works. Again, it's linked to production-linked incentives. But I want to focus a little bit on the really big story in aviation, which is the disinvestment process of Air India with Vinamra Longani. Mr. Longani, this is the second time that this has been attempted. The last time around, there weren't any bidders. You've now got at least two bidders now. Do you believe that it's only a matter of time before this precious asset of the government, Air India, becomes private once again?
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Vishnu. At this point in time, what we do know is that financial bids have come in for Air India. And I mean, at this point in time, it also would be good to note everyone really talks about the airline Air India, but there's also a 100% stake in Air India Express, which
correct.
Is on offer,
yep.
And a 50% stake in Air India SATS, which is the ground handling unit. So, yes, very encouraging. I feel Air India is a great asset, has great legacy value. I would also go to the point to say that it has, the reputation of the airline has maybe been jaded a little bit over the last couple of years because of just maybe a deteriorating service. And you know, we could have a whole show on Air India, to be honest. But it's a great asset. It's got bilateral rights. And it's got some of the most, experienced aviation professionals as of date working for the airline. So all in all, great news. We have bidders for the airline. What happens next now is for the government to actually go through these financial bids. And from what we know is they want to hand over the asset by the end of this year. But in my opinion, it might take slightly longer than that.
What do you believe the likely value of the bids might be? I mean, I know you won't obviously know the exact value, but I'm just trying to get an idea of the scope of this. The reason I ask is because there are also debts to the tune of 60,000 crores for Air India. And so therefore, when you're looking at a bid, it needs to be very substantial because the new buyer would take over a part of that debt as well.
That's right. So a large part of the debt was actually placed in an SPV by the government of India. So, you know, this process has really evolved over a period of time now, Vishnu. It started off in January, this particular process. And, you know, what the government did in order to make it more lucrative for the buyers was to say that, you know, we'd work on an enterprise value basis and whoever sort of quotes the highest enterprise value, they'd be required to pay 15% of it in cash and the rest of it can be taken on in debt. So, you know, a large part of debt was parked in this SPV, to make this more attractive.
Right.
So, I mean, all in all, what is really comforting to know as a taxpayer is that the government of India wants to privatize Air India. I mean, in my opinion, the government has no business of running an airline.
Right.
You know, the concept of national airlines is long gone. So,
yes.
And we've had successful privatization of national airlines like British Airways, for example, in the UK. So yes, all in all, a good move. Your guess is as good as mine as to what has actually been quoted.
So
by
what
any
was
of
a
these.
Private airline, which then became a government airline, is now going to become a private airline again. And who knows, it might end up with the same group which started the airline. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves as far as that is concerned. It is absolutely fascinating. But I want to come back to the auto sector once again for the little time we have left. Siddharth, does this mean that next car that I need to buy and which you've been advising me on, which we both discussed must be electric, is going to be cheaper?
Well, if it is going to be electric, there's a chance that it could be a little bit cheaper than what it stands today. But again, you know, as Vikram was saying, so much of this is still in the fine print. The details are still not completely announced in terms of, you know, what it implies. But, you know, it's the capability of the industry, I think, that will be looked at. And so, as I was saying earlier, what it will mean is you'll have more options. when you make that decision, because right now, you know, it's you can pretty much pick from a handful of vehicles if you were to take the electric plunge. Remember, there is no real mass offering when it comes to electrics, especially in the four-wheeler space. On two-wheelers, yes, we've done pretty well. There are quite a few options in the market, but that's where this aims to sort of, you know, accelerate that process, have a greater reliance on domestic component supplies towards EVs as well. Don't forget, that's a huge part, you know, of the burden when it comes to the pricing on these vehicles. So really, yes, positive news for sure. But as everyone is saying, that they further need to study the details to see how much of a benefit the actual vehicle would get. Component industry, though, seems to be very, very enthused by these announcements. Vishnu.
Mr. Kirloskar, you know, you mentioned the word components as well, and that you're looking at it from a component standpoint. So just very broadly speaking, what component manufacturers linked to environmentally friendly vehicles, or what components linked to environmentally friendly vehicles would stand to benefit?
You know, before I get to that, I think I'd like to sort of give you the feeling I have on this whole scheme. The auto industry faces a large challenge going forward in terms of carbon neutrality and safety. These are two big issues: emission, carbon neutrality, and safety, as we go forward. And both these areas, to get to make sure we are up to global standards, as well as for our requirements of climate change, require significant investment in capital equipment, in technology, in production facilities. There are many, many things. And I think this scheme sort of gives you an incentive to take those investments. I'm very concerned about climate change. I'm very concerned that our industry should not contribute to increase in carbon
right
in the atmosphere. So we are taking steps, I know, as a company on this, in whether it's production base, you know, our production facilities will be almost carbon neutral. And I think with the help of this scheme, probably another 2-3 years, I'm targeting at least half the carbon output on the products. So that's the way I'm thinking about it.
All right.
Well, this is something that will help us in the long run.
Absolutely.
For the environment as well as safety.
All right. Environment
and you
safety.
Know, we can get into the nitty-gritties, but I think that's the kind of direction
that's,
we have to
the
set
thing that you get at this time.
And go for it.
All right, well, I'd like to thank you all very much. Lots of new announcements by the government today across a host of sectors. We haven't even discussed, for example, what they've done in the drone sector. That's something they're looking at very, very closely indeed. Well, there have been a couple of questions or views that people on Koo have sent in. For example, one viewer writes in, the relief package provides much more relief to telecom companies. Will it now generate more employment opportunities? Someone else says, what will the impact of this on companies B, which are ready to provide 5G services? So that's raised these couple of questions. But we are going to change track completely, and we're going to focus, because we are a country absolutely crazy about our smartphones, on the new Apple 13. Now, we've got our tech guru, Rajiv Makni, with us. He knows more about this stuff than anybody possibly anywhere in the world, and he's with us today. So, you know, Rajiv, every year, Apple is criticized for not adding whiz-bang features, perhaps just adding minor incremental upgrades, but they continue to sell in millions. Why? Is it just brand appeal?
So Vishnu, first of all, yes, we are a completely smartphone-crazy country, and when the Apple event happens, all hell breaks loose in every which way. But I have to tell you, before I answer your question, I have to describe a little meme I saw just a few hours back. There's a man standing wearing this beautiful shirt, mm-hmm. and he's holding another brand new packed shirt next to him. He's very, very excited about the new shirt. The funny thing is that the shirt he's wearing and the new shirt are both exactly the same. You know, the same pattern, same color, same everything. And the meme says, an iPhone 13 buyer excited about his new phone when he's switching from an iPhone 12 to a 13. That really is how Apple really moves. But I have to tell you that even though people make fun of it, even though people, you know, keep saying it's only incremental, Apple's only playing catch up, those features have already been done before, this is not a flaw. This is a feature of how Apple actually moves ahead. And it is never ever should anyone forget, it is the most successful technology company in the history of all companies. So they're not doing anything wrong. They're just doing what works for them. They have this incredible array of customers who don't want to jump and have this very, very difficult curve to learn something new. They like it that it's slow. They're familiar with the product. They're not doing anything that it completely and absolutely baffles them. The Android market, very, very different. The Apple market, very different. People like the fact that it's incremental. And Apple also seems to do the innovation that works. It's not for gimmicks. It's not a headline screamer only. These are the kind of features that they refine. They don't get it 100% right. They get it 1,000% right. And they do things that really will make a difference in the user's life. For instance, their concentration for the last three generations of iPhones has predominantly been camera. And what's the number one used feature on a smartphone right now? It's your camera. It's your criteria. It's your most used feature. It's what you use most to get everything out on social media, sharing with people. So they're getting it right, but will they get it right by going incremental like this in the long run? That's where I think the problem starts.
Is there a chink in the armor now in Apple's portfolio? Are they, in a sense, losing their dominance, perhaps a little bit of their aura?
Yeah, so it started to happen, Vishnu. It didn't happen. It's been predicted for the last 5 or 6 years. Oh, they're just catching up. Oh, that's something Android market was doing 3 years back. But now what started to happen is that Android market and a lot of very, very good companies within are starting to do great phones with great features, new innovations at a great price. And that's not a good combination for Apple. For Apple to have a tagline of a catch-up company in terms of innovation, you know, they're the ones who first came up with a real smartphone. The first iPhone was really the one that set the benchmark for what we use today. For them to have a tagline called catch up in terms of innovation is not a good tagline, not a good look for Apple. That's why they're starting to lose a little bit of category share market in multiple areas. And it's something they'll have to do something about, this fact that they only change their design after 2 or 3 years, the fact that they bring in incremental changes, their whiz bang features are not coming at the pace. You know, they've got the money, they've got the people, they've got the R&D, they've got everything. They could really accelerate, and it's time for them to do it. I'm really hoping, I've been saying it for the last 3 years, I'm really hoping the next one will really be a game changer.
All right, Rajiv, now tell us a little bit about ProMotion. Does it come with any user controls? Tell us a little bit about its functionality.
Okay, so ProMotion is a very, very important feature. This is basically the way the phone actually refreshes its screen. So they've moved with the screen to 120 hertz, which is great. If you're playing, you know, games, if you're playing some fast-moving action, animation, even movies with a lot of action, the screen will keep up to everything that's happening on, you know, everything that the game is actually trying to display, the screen will keep up. That's the good part. The bad part is that if your phone is always on 120 hertz in terms of a refresh rate, the battery will get completely eaten up. The phone can even heat up quite a bit. So the good part is that ProMotion has an algorithm software built in that looks at what you're doing. If it's something static, you're just reading maybe something like an ebook or just, you know, browsing through a website, there's not much activity happening. It'll throttle down to 10 hertz. That saves a massive amount of battery, keeps your phone cool. Everything just works well. And then, you know, when you do something else a little bit more, it'll go from 10 to 20 to whatever is required, play a really, really amazing game. It'll scale to 120 hertz. But you don't have control over it. And that's a good thing because, you know, you may set control at 60 hertz, forget that it's at 60 hertz, try and play a game and then not get a very satisfactory feeling or an experience. So it's great it does it on its own. And I am very sure that Apple has brought it in now. They'll have perfected it completely.
Rajiv, what about the cinematic mode? How does that work?
Yeah, this is very interesting. I have to say, though, that this is one of those try it before you believe it mode, because it almost seems like science fiction. I'm going to give you a very, very quick example. So, Vishnu, let's say you're taking a video of someone, a subject in front of you, and the focus is on that person. This particular feature is intelligent enough, at least, you know, till we don't get to try it, at least on theory, it's intelligent enough that if that person changes the gaze from looking into your camera to something else, which is on screen, the phone should, again, in theory, change its focus to what that person is looking at. That is something where, you know, even the best cinematographers in the world, the best camera people in the world, they struggle to get it right. And there are many, as you and me know, many, many, many retakes, right? This should do it automatically on its own. I've given you a very simple example. There's a lot more that you can do. And on the Pro series, you get even more control. On the 13 mini and the 13, it'll do it on its own. But like I said, I'll try it to believe it.
Just one or two more questions. Has the iPhone 12 Pro series, has that been discontinued now?
Yes, it has been. Whatever is in stock will be sold. And there's a very good reason for it. And that's why I've also been, I said it in a quick review that I did on NDTV today. You know, the new 13 mini and the 13 are as good as the Pro series in terms of almost every feature. And then they have a lot more, the A14 Bionic chip, much better battery life. So no one's going to really buy the 12 Pro when the 13 mini and 13 have that and a whole lot more. So this is one of those times where Apple has done a pretty good job with the 13 mini and the 13. And by the way, I'm calling it right now, even without trying it. The 13, according to me, is the best bang for buck in the entire 13 series. You may not even need the Pro series. It's looking that good.
All right. One final question. Is the iPhone 13 cheaper than the iPhone 12 in India?
Yeah, so there's a way to look at it. It's almost the same price, but what you're getting is a much better phone. So for the same price as what you would have bought the 12, you're buying the 13 now. But what you're getting is at the base, you're getting 128 GB. So your storage is more. And like I said, you're getting a whole lot more. So in effect, yes, it's cheaper in many ways. In effect, you're getting way, way more. And by the way, there's one more thing that I want to leave everybody with, Vishnu. This is a question I've been getting from almost everybody on social media. And that is that, did they play R.D. Burman's Dum Maro Dum in the event? And it really did sound like it. I mean, all of India started celebrating.
Very quickly, I'm out of time, Rajiv. Did they?
Yeah, so it was exactly the same tune, but it was actually a song called Work All Day by Footsie. So you can, I mean, let's believe it was just R.D. Burman.
We'll just go with what we believe. Great speaking to you.
All right, Vishnu, thank you so much. Have fun.
Thank you so much indeed. We're out of time on this program. Sanket Upadhyay comes up next.